Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 31st episode of Fresh From The Scene. Today's show features the returning friend of the podcast, Mr. Sean Smith from Raiders, Sapnin Podcast, and formerly of that Welsh band. No, not that one. I of course mean The Blackout. He was kind enough to sit down and have a chat with me before playing at the Key Club in Leeds the other week, while supporting my good friends in Kill The Silence, and we covered everything from Raiders' newest single Animal, to Elvis-fronted Nirvana cover bands, and of course, the Sapnin podcast he hosts with Morgan Richards. There's links in the description to everything you need going forward, and if you enjoy the episode, please do give it a share, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please take 5 minutes to give us a review. So, before we start wasting away, and whilst I still function, let's hear about what's happening with the absolutely bloody lovely Sean Smith.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's returning guest is the doubly iconic now, I guess.
No. What?
Well, last time I called you iconic, and you were like, iconic? So this time, this is your second appearance. You've got to be double iconic.
Well, every time somebody comes on this podcast, they become an icon. Is that what it is?
I'd like to think so.
Oh, well, fair enough. And yeah, I'd like to be a double icon after this. Yeah.
A double icon, Sean Smith. Yeah. Raiders and Sapnin.
Nice. Sounds like something Kanye West would say. I'm a double icon. Like,
do we want to be double icons anymore?
I don't know. I don't want, yeah. Does anybody want to be the public eye anymore? It only brings trouble and problems.
Nah.
Did Will Smith's son? Will Smith's son. I bet he'd love her. Did Jaden Smith have a song called Icon? He did, didn't he?
He might have done, yeah.
I just got an icon living. Is it an icon? Yeah, I guess so, yeah. It's a good song, though. I really like it. Well done to Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith for creating two fantastically talented kids who are both absolutely beautiful as well.
Yeah.
So well done to all of those people. Except Jada Pinkett Smith. She seems to be now ruining Will Smith's life bit by bit. I've noticed on the internet. Have you seen her?
I haven't.
Oh, she does this red table thing, with like a podcast with, sometimes she has like Willow on and stuff like that, and Will. And they've talked about like times she cheated on him and stuff like this, and Will's cried on it, and yeah, making the Fresh Prince look like a fresh prick more than anything, I suppose. But yeah, she's on there talking about times she's like cracked on with Tupac and that. And it's like, that's Will Smith there. Yeah. I know he doesn't swear in his raps, but come on. Nah. He still give us Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Boom Shake the Room. That was good.
First Men in Black movie.
Very good. Second one's all right. I don't mind the second one.
The third one we don't talk.
Is he in the third one? I don't even...
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it then.
Don't.
Is that the one with the fella from Flight of the Conchords in it?
Maybe. Jermaine. Emma Thompson's in it.
No. I don't know. I know Emma Thompson from the Adele thing. Did you see the Adele thing that happened the other night?
I saw some highlights from it.
Yeah, did you see Emma Thompson was steaming drunk?
Oh, yeah, that was Emma Thompson.
Yeah, yeah, shouting the questions out, and then Alan Carr got up and sung beautifully, as you could imagine. Fucking hell. Oh, leave it out, Alan.
Yeah, leave it out. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I've taken your podcast off you and I started ranting with the Smiths. Sorry, carry on.
It's Fresh From The Scene featuring Rubes now.
Nice.
But anyway, here we are, Key Club.
Yes.
Supporting Kill The Silence tonight.
Yes, cannot wait.
Ready for it?
Yes. I was born for this. I was born to play this gig tonight, actually.
Yeah.
Everything I've done before this has been literally a practice for tonight, a warm-up for tonight. That's why I say to my girlfriend, just before, every time we have sex, is everything I've done before was just practice for you, so I could be really good for you. And then she cries after, because it's always so terrible. But yeah, really looking forward to it. Can't wait to play. I hope some northerners turn up.
Yeah, me too.
But we'll see. I don't mind playing the other bands, whatever. I'm just looking forward to running about a bit and drinking some beer, then going back to my friend Emma's house to hang out with her and her husband, because we haven't seen them for a while, so
yeah
I'm looking forward to it. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to it. With my partner being in KTS,
yes,
like
nice.
As soon as it was announced, I was like, cool, a gig.
Yes.
It's only the third time I'm seeing them as well, so it's nice. Like,
they sounded awesome earlier.
Yes,
they were really good, so awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Should
be good. We're still waiting for the first band to turn up, State of Error, by the way. Just bit of podcast insider information. They haven't turned up yet, the shits. So they will at some point, I know. But
yeah, apparently they're stuck in the snow. Which
stuck of in all, the snow?
Of all the days for it to, like, you know, have fucking snow.
Oh, it wouldn't be... It wouldn't be me trying to enjoy my life if something horrible by God wasn't sent them.
If it could go wrong.
Yeah, basically, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. Because in November 2019, my friends... friend who's listening who doesn't know, I used to be in a band called The Blackout, which did surprisingly well for Six Idiots from South Wales. And in November 2019, we talked about doing maybe a couple of reunion shows for March 2020, which would have been 5 years since we split up. And then, if you believe in God, God said, well, Sean's going to be happy again in March 2020. What about this? Everybody's going to stay indoors forever. Ah, thanks, God. Yeah, and loads of you are going to die as well, because Sean was nearly happy again. So, yeah, when I woke up this morning, and my friend from Leeds was like, be careful, it's fucking snowing here and it's stuck. I literally play with, of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is, because it wouldn't be me nearly enjoying myself otherwise.
Yeah, I was at a friend's house and it started snow thundering and like lightning and everything. Oh, I was lovely. Like, I didn't know this happened in this country.
Sean must be coming.
Yeah.
It's like my entrance music, but like 12 hours before I turn up. It's like wrestling music. I'm like the Undertaker, but the snow to take it, no, that doesn't work. The Snowplower, that's my new character.
The Snowplower.
Yeah. It also sounds like possibly a drug nickname as well. So. Anyway.
But anyway, the last time we spoke to you, you'd only got the one song, Wasting Away.
Yeah.
Now you've got five. Yeah. Or is it six?
Yeah, it might be fucking, I don't
five
know.
Five or six.
Yeah, somewhere like that.
They came out across lockdown and all of that.
They did, yeah, sadly. Yeah.
Do you want to tell me a bit about the most recent one, Animal?
Not particularly, but... so basically, what we did was, over the pandemic, rather than... Because we recorded four songs with our friend Todd Campbell in Stompbox Studios in South Wales prior to the pandemic. So I'm not saying, again, it's my fault, but looks like it is. And we had a mix by Stu Richardson, formerly of Lost Prophets and currently of No Devotion. Who done a fucking fantastic job. And then we ended up doing a video for the song Animal with Aaron McKenzie of While She Sleeps, which was awesome. We got to go up to their warehouse, the Sleeps Warehouse, and see all their stuff. And that was amazing. And yeah, so we decided over the pandemic, with Bandcamp Friday happening, where Bandcamp was waiving taking any revenue from the artists on a certain Friday, we thought, oh, well, we could use this to make as much money as we can back for the songs if anybody wants to buy them. So we put them all out on Bandcamp Friday, and we made more than what it cost us to record the songs, which is super cool that we got that money back. But I think, looking at it now, we kind of stumped ourselves by not releasing it on Spotify first, just because we haven't got any playlists from anything. Like, and it seems like in 2021, the thing you need to be doing is getting on playlists so more people can find out about you. So we won't be doing that from now on. We won't be going for Bandcamp Friday anymore. Thank you, Bandcamp, for them. But we're probably just going to try and do it normally, I guess, what normal bands do now, and do run-ups and make an effort, I suppose, rather than, ha-ha, it's out, get it. Oh, you have, thanks. Oh, nobody's listening to on Spotify. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, they're all out now. Animal's out. We shot, like I said, our first proper video with it. It was our bassist's first ever video he's ever been in as well, which was, that's cute. But, yeah, it came out. If anyone's interested in watching it, check out, search for Raiders UK on the YouTube and Animal. And you get to see me getting shot in the head, which is fantastic, which is one of the things I'm longing to do myself. So if you've always... If you know who I am for a start, that's amazing. Thank you. If you've always wanted to see me shot in the head, guess what? Me too. You can now check out Animal.
Yeah, it is.
I'm so good at plugging my band in a positive light.
Yeah, it's one hell of a video. Thank you. You know, I, as a videographer myself, like mostly I'm just watching it like with the whole videographer head on it. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what that's doing and framing and all of, you know, all of the deep shit.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, it's like, it's also a good video.
Yeah, the bit where it looks like I'm looking through the mirror and you can see me is literally not... It's... So basically, everything that's shot from the side, the way you see us from the side on, or from the front on, is the same shot as well, so it's not like anything moves. So like there's a bit, if you like look at the bit where I'm sitting down, like the interrogation bit, there's like a pipe in the background. All we had to do for that bit was just move it round, move the pipe round rather than shift the whole room. So yeah, it's quite a clever perspective really, but Aaron did a great job, and I get covered in blood, and I scared some of the general public walking around covered in blood in Sheffield. So that was fun. I enjoyed that, watching loads of scared ravers, because it was like a dance night or something in the warehouse opposite. So I came out, and there was like five girls all dressed in like big feathery outfits who were like, oh, what the fuck? Like,
you're right, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know how much blood this is? This couldn't have been my blood. There's like, I'd be dead.
I certainly just wouldn't be walking around the middle of Sheffield doing it.
Well, you never know. Other people were. So.
Yeah, that's true. How have people, you know, responded to, you know, Animal and even the other songs?
Not very well.
No.
Unsurprisingly. Well, not surprisingly. Yeah. I thought, well, when Animal came out, I did like a tweet where I was like, if you're friends with me, do me a solid and retweet this video, please. And apparently in the whole world, I've got 42 friends.
Oh.
And, well, not 42, because four of those accounts are me retweeting it as well. So
Satman.
Satman, Raiders, my own account, and, well, so I've got another account, I think, that I retweeted off. Anyway.
Is it the Blackout number one fan?
Oh, that'd be good, isn't it? Yeah. These are so much better. They're not better. But, yeah, so, yeah, I was a little bit disappointed, and, you know, I would have thought somebody I know in a band could have done me a solid and retweeted it. But they didn't, and I'm not bitter or angry. I'm just very, very disappointed. Especially with people whose bands we took on, like the Blackout took on tour or whatever, and they went, oh, yeah, let's fucking tour in America together, or any of that shit, and, you know, that never came about, so... Like, how long does it take you just to press the fucking retweet button? 2 seconds?
Not even that.
Not even that. Get it fucking done, for fuck's sake. So, yeah, basically, on release day, the only person, right to say this? I think I'm right to say this. The only person in, like, renowned bands to retweet it was Funeral for a Friend retweeted it. And I was fucking chuffed with that. I was like, oh, yeah. My God. And Matt, the singer from Funeral for a Friend, retweeted it. And I was like, I didn't even think he liked me. Let alone fucking he's listened to this. So, yeah, I was chuffed that they fucking posted about it. But, yeah, I think the more people see it, will like it. But also... We've done the complete opposite, I think, of what bands probably need to do right now, which is put it on Spotify first. Yeah. But also, we've written a song that's 5 minutes long. I don't know if you've noticed, songs are getting shorter.
Yeah, I mean, the new Frank Carter record is only half an hour.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it's just like, if you just look at, like, that SoundCloud rap and stuff and all of that stuff that came out, it's like any of those XXXTentacion songs, they're like one verse, a chorus... Yeah. A verse again, and then that's it. It's like, what? The whole song's 2 minutes. So, us fucking old men came out and brought a 5 minute song out just for the sake of it to be like, nah,
yeah.
This is what we want to do. It's atmospheric, plays a part, it helps with the video. Cool.
Yeah. They also don't have intros, new songs.
No.
Like, because it's just straight in. You've got to, straight in. Otherwise,
well, that's the thing, you have to. Next. It's all. Wait, it's TikTok now, isn't it? You have to hit instantly.
Yeah.
And, I know all this, but I'm not doing any of this. This is the thing. It's like, I know the way I should be releasing music, and I should be doing dances on TikTok to try and make my fucking band popular, but I hate that more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be doing all those things, but I won't because fuck TikTok, I'm 30 odd, so I'm a grown up, like, it's not for me.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think a lot of the way that, you know, a lot of people respond to your music is when it's actually live. You know, that's, well, yeah, that's the saying it's designed.
That's the whole point. It's like, to be honest, with the recordings of the songs, it's like, all I need, all I want... The original reason we recorded Wasting Away, we recorded with Ramesh Dodangoda, and we wanted it, we did it in February, and we were hoping to get it back in a couple of weeks so we could send it to festivals, so we could play festivals in 2018. But we didn't get it back till late, so we ended up missing festivals. But that's the point. It's like, I just want songs to put out there, because I want to play gigs, and if people check out those songs and like those songs, they're gonna have an heads up on the lyrics or whatever, or like Destructobot with the end of Destructobot, because everything's turned to shit. Fuck yeah, it's like that's perfect for a crowd. That's awesome, yeah. For the end, and that's all I want. I just want to play gigs, and I want to support bands, and I want to steal people's fans. Because I think if you put me in front of people's fans, it's going to go one of two ways. They're either going to love it or they're going to hate it. Yeah. And that's what I want. Like, I'd rather not people go, oh, yeah, they were all right. I might go see them. I want people to go, I want to go see them again. Or, fuck that shit. Yeah. I never want to see them again.
This is the exact conversation I was having with Paul last week.
Yes.
Just, you know, it's better to be hated or loved than to have no impact whatsoever.
Yeah. But then you end up like me, mainly hated. And it doesn't do wonders for your mental health, I suppose. But that's what I've asked for, and that's what I want. And yeah, I'd much rather people be like, I fucking love... Because even the people who hate it, like, I see people sometimes at our gigs, and I'm like, this person is fucking hate it. And then I'll go up to them, and I'll fucking get them involved. And by the end of it, they're like, oh, didn't like that at first, but I enjoyed you towards the end. And it's like, well, yeah, cool. At the end of the day, so I like to think it's a fucking... It's a comedy show. Where I'm fucking joking about in between songs, and then I got a backup by the band when my jokes fucking fail. I'd be like, quick boys, play a song. Like, even some of those lyrics or jokes, song titles, we got one called Unnecessary V's, where all the vowels are V's, because bands thought that's cool, and it's fucking not. But jokes on me, because nobody can fucking find the song. Because all the vowels are
V's. You can't be like, Alexa, play unnecessary V's, but change all the vowels to V's.
I never even thought of Alexa or Siri or anything like that. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to change the name on Spotify, I think, to what it is now, and then in brackets, unnecessary V's next to it.
Yeah, because she'll start saying that, but it'll be hilarious to see her
saying
it.
Yeah,
Alexa's gone.
Alexa, play unnecessary V's.
It is a tune.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I like it. I nearly sent it to Dal Plumber from Glassjaw, who's one of my favourite frontmen of all time ever, to see if he'd be on it. But I shit out last minute.
Yeah.
Like a scaredy cat. But if we write any more that I think he could be good on, I'm going to man up and I'm going to fucking send it to him to see what he thinks. But nearly had him. But yeah, that's the thing. It's like, we just got up. We're all people in me at the end of the day, so I just need to fucking... pull my socks up and just ask the man and stop being scared. Like, he's just a man at the end of the day, isn't he? So,
yeah.
And I've messaged Fred Durst loads lately to see if I can get him on something podcast. To the point where I sent him a message that was the cheesiest and most fangirl type thing you could ever send anyone.
Did it have his song titles in it?
No. It said, dear Mr. Durst, please come and do my podcast. It will literally be an hour of me rimming you, right? You're my Cobain. And that was it.
Yeah.
That's sad. It was that. You're my Cobain, mind. Because I know how much he loves Cobain. And Elvis, for some reason. Ew.
Do you reckon he likes Elvana?
Oh, don't even start me on that. The fact that anybody gives Elvis any credit when he's a renowned paedophile. If you look into anything else, like, Elvis was obsessed with 14-year-old girls and virginity and stuff like that. And he always had like 3 or 4 14-year-old girls around with him. According to books I've read of people who toured with him. But yet, there's Elvana, an Elvis-fronted Nirvana tribute band. That's like me, right, doing Finnish rock hits, right, and calling the band Himmel Fix It. Yes, paedophile.
We've gone there.
We've gone there, and that's a great joke. It's a great joke.
It is a great joke.
And I hope people listening to this laugh at that, and if they don't, they're idiots. But also, you support paedophiles if you don't laugh at that joke, so you... got to be laughing now. At least they're going, ha, no, I did laugh. I don't like, I hate people. Except Elvis, for some reason. Because everyone's fine with it. And I hate it.
Yeah.
Drives me mental. And the fact that Elvana played that Download 2001 pilot. 2001? Jesus.
Is that how long the pandemic's gone on?
Oh, it feels like it. My life has been one big pandemic. Yeah, they did the Download pilot 2021. And I was like, so bands have been locked up for 18 months, been writing new original material that they've been promoting and trying their best to get out there. And what's on the main stage? A covers band. Doing an impression of a paedophile. Oh, class. My first thought was, oh, they must have something on Andy Coppin. Like.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to find that thing out as well. Because I want to fucking be playing the main stage. And loads of other bands deserve to be playing the main stage before a covers band doing paedophile impressions. Like.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Elvana, like, oh. How does that work? It's 2021. Bear in mind, we're meant to have flying cars by now, right?
Yeah.
We haven't got flying cars, but yet we've still got Elvis fronted. Oh, even if it was just a Nirvana cover band, that's too old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on with it. There's more, but get over it, everyone. He's not you. They're done. They're not going to play again. Don't have him be confronted by a fucking fat paedophile, for fuck's sake.
I've heard that they're trying to get a hologram for, like, a Nirvana thing as well.
Fuck's sake. Like, you let him rest, for fuck's sake. Like, he would have hated that.
Yeah.
Cobain would have hated a fucking... Oh, you're making money off my name now, are you? That's probably the reason he fucking did it, was to get out and get away from everything, because it was all too much for him. And you're like, oh, no, well, let's fucking make a 3D version of him out of lights. Not the Canadian singer. Yeah. I mean, holograms.
You obviously mentioned, like, making jokes and stuff. You started doing live comedy.
Yeah.
How did that go? Because that was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did one in London a couple of months ago, actually. And I did one in Cardiff a couple of weeks ago. So basically, it's my friend's panel. She got like a panel show. It's called the Comedy Arcade Podcast. And she does like this bingo thing. And whatever number comes out is a corresponding question. And then you've got to answer that or give your thing. So, yeah, it was real interesting. I had to go with Elvis on there. So a lot of that stuff I just did just now was probably in there. Because I got real wound up. But yeah, it was fun. It was so fun that the girl who hosts it has asked me to go to Edinburgh Fringe Festival with her.
Oh, really?
In August to do a few of them. So I must have done all right. Unless I was so bad it was funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the least funniest person ever. This is hilarious.
Maybe that's why Elvana are on the main stage.
Well, because...
Because they're that bad that it was like, we need people laughing.
But people were pretending to enjoy it, though.
Oh. And maybe not.
People pretending. People were enjoying it, like, but... In my head, you can't enjoy it. You must be pretending to enjoy it, because... Anyway. But yeah, so yeah, I've had to go with that. I am eventually going to do stand-up, I think. My friend Vic, who hosts that podcast, has been pushing me to do it. To the point where I turned up to do that live comedy podcast, and she was like, oh, you're going to do 10 minutes of stand-up tonight. And I was like, I'm fucking not. And she said, no, you are. And I was like, you can't literally force me. Like, you're going to have to fight me to get me out there. And Vix isn't winning this, like, I smashed it to bits. So I didn't do it, but I did the actual show, though, which was very, very fun. And yeah, check it out. It's on Comedy Arcade Podcast now. I believe it's called something like The Muppets Are Shit or something like that, because one of the contestants, no, that's not right, one of the comedians said she thinks The Muppets Are Shit. I'm a grown man now, so I don't really have an opinion either way, but
yeah,
I don't know why it still bothers her. The thing is, she was older than me, so she has got kids, though, so yeah, it probably makes sense they watch it more than I do.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Obviously, one of the two hosts of Satnam Podcast.
Yes.
The award-nominating...
Oh, yes. Award-losing. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about putting a tagline, like, above Satnam, like, award-losing podcast, Satnam Podcast, yes, with the main host. And then, of course, I've got my trusty sidekick. Psychic Morgan. But yeah, that's going all right, I think. Yeah,
3 years now.
It has been three. Fuck.
Does it feel like 3 years?
No, especially because, well, it's because we had the pandemic in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't think that time feels like 3 years to anybody, really. But yeah, we had to, like, pivot. Oh, I hate using fucking business. Right then, so we can't do them in flesh. We need to pivot. Ooh. So yeah, we ended up doing them over Zoom, which I think has turned out as a bit of a blessing for us, because we've ended up getting people I don't think we would have had in the flesh.
Yeah.
Like, we had Dave Lombardo, who's the former drummer of Slayer. So obviously one of the most inspirational drummers of all time. He came on to talk about his new band with the head of the Satanic Temple. So that was an interesting one. I never thought I'd get to do that one. That was really good. What else have we fucking done? It's been insane. The Offspring, that was a good one. That's a surprisingly big one people seem to be wowed by. We talked to them about what their favourite shower was. Hey, we're asking all the hard-hitting questions that people want to know. I want to know, Offspring, what's your favourite shower unit? And if it's not the Triton T80i, what is it and why? Because that's my favourite venue shower, the Triton T80i. And anybody in a band now who's toured for longer than 6 years should be laughing a fucking head off, because that is a very good shower that is in a few different venues. So, yeah, what else have we had on? Can I have a check?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, moving over to Zoom, like, was something that I also ended up doing. Yeah. I was using my university studios, like, when I wasn't on the move.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like, cool, you can't come onto campus anymore, so good luck. And I was like, shit. But I do an F1 podcast as well, and we've been using Zoom since the start for nice. That.
Do you know Tom Deacon? Is he involved in Formula One? He's a comedian, he is, but I think he hosts something.
The name rings a bell.
I think he might host Formula One.
Oh, Formula E.
Never mind, yeah, right, no, I fucked that up.
A different thing.
No, it's like...
Yeah, he's Formula One, yeah,
esports. Esports shit.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I could ask him if he'd do your podcast, because he's cool, and I think he's got some sort of in there. Oh. But that might be cool. Yeah, go on. Yeah, sorry, you were saying. Yeah. Have you had any guests on this Formula One podcast?
We had Mario Zola, who is the head of Pirelli.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We've had a few recent like ones who are just like F1 related authors, but I've not been involved in those, and yeah. I've also been sitting out the recent two ones because they're currently doing the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix next weekend, which I am just completely boycotting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was the Qatar Grand Prix last weekend.
Yeah. Fuck that as well.
Yeah, so yeah. Like I was just like, I am not giving any airtime to this. I'm not watching it. I'm not commenting on it.
Who would be your dream Formula One guest to talk to? I tell you who mine would be.
Go on.
No, I better not say it. No, carry on.
I
just realised he probably wouldn't be very good on a podcast. I would have gone for Michael Schumacher.
But I don't think he's going to say much right now.
No, he's not saying anything at all, really, is he? He's doing his missus is doing most heavy lifting.
Yeah.
In more ways than one, I suppose. Oh, my good Lord. Take that with a pinch of salt. Everybody listening to this currently moaning. Please.
Yeah, I feel like
he was the best. Like, he was fucking... I grew up to Michael Schumacher, and he was fucking incroyable, which is French for very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable, Michael Schumacher. I can't believe it.
Even people who don't watch F1 know who Michael Schumacher is because that's the level
he was
they operated at.
Unbelievable. Like, him... Who else was there at the time? Senna was...
Towards
the end of Senna's run, and ultimately the crash that killed him.
Yeah.
Schumacher was there. Nigel Mansell with his British moustache. Damon Hill.
Yeah, Damon Hill.
You can get Damon Hill on our podcast.
I think he wants money for it.
Does he?
Yeah.
Do you know what? We haven't had a single person ask for money to come on our podcast.
I only had it once when I was doing like an academic thing. I was like, I'm a student, I can't pay you. And they're like, all right, cool.
That's it then.
And that was the end of that. I was like, well,
mad,
fair enough.
Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
The
BBC, like, have their blanket thing of, we don't pay for our contributors.
Yeah.
It's like, you can do that because you're the BBC. And it's like, sometimes I think people just, you know, think, oh, I'll ask because I might get some money out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't fuck. I don't. Yeah. I don't know, you'd have the cheek to fucking ask anyone, like, it's mental.
Yeah. But, dream guest. It's either got to be, you know, like, obviously
Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton right now, or I feel like, on the polar opposite scale, Nico Rosberg, because he's the one person so far that has topped, like, this version of Lewis Hamilton that we've got. And, like, that...
You'd have to go to Monaco, though, wouldn't you, to interview Lewis Hamilton, or one of them tax-dodging places.
Do it in Guernsey.
Yeah. Oh. Very good driver. Well done to you, Lewis Hamilton. He's got a personality of a fucking damp flannel. he tries to dress cool and he does United Colours of Benetton adverts and it's like, you're not cool, old bro. Just chill out and be good at driving in a very fucking tight circle. Because that's what you're doing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're just going around in a circle like, well, this is Sean being real about everything. It's like anything, really, isn't it? It's like, what's football? Some boys who still play their hobby. Still play their hobby while older men watch them run around in shorts, like.
Yeah.
You break it down like that to them, they hate it. But that's what it is. Going around in a circle really fast for loads and loads of money. Give me a go of that. I don't care if I get smashed into a barrier and die. Be a right
guy. Good way to go out.
Why not, innit? Yeah, called a legend and that. For having the inability to drive. Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, my God. I'm definitely cancelled now. I'm definitely cancelled. Well, it's a good run. It's going to be the last gig tonight, I suppose.
Yeah.
So...
I'm glad I get to see it.
Yeah. And, yeah. part of my downfall you were. So, yeah, I've enjoyed these two so far. Yeah, go on, sorry.
You were checking previous podcast guests.
Oh, I was. Point. Good thinking. It was. And then my brother tried to call me and I forgot how to function as a human then. So.
Although Zoom has been great for like getting guests because like, I got Frank Turner, who I probably would have never got like just by, you know, waiting around a venue.
Nice.
Who else have I had? I had Bobby from Strange Bones, which was fun. But he's very quiet. Like, there's a lot of, oh yeah, like, we did this and we did that and we did this. It's like, then he goes on stage, he's like...
Yeah. It's weird some people are like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just a twat 24/7, so it's like, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
But then some people need that quiet time beforehand to...
Unleash it when they're on stage.
Yeah, to, like, get ready, or, like, it's like a nerves or, like, a build-up or something, but... It's crazy. It's like when the Blackout, I remember we did Reading main stage 1 year and I think we were third or fourth or something on the lineup. And I remember our drummer Snoz was like proper, like nearly shitting himself, just fucking shaking like a shitting dog. I remember like looking, I was like looking at it from above myself in a way and I was just like, you don't give a fuck. Like you're about to play to 60,000 plus people now and you haven't got any nerves while everybody else is just shitting yourself. And I was like, don't need to do it. It's just we're going out there and we're doing what we've done a million times, having a laugh and trying to make them laugh and having fun and playing these songs that people like for some reason. So yeah, strange, isn't it? Some people really need quiet beforehand.
Yeah.
But nah, not our show. It can walk on now. Walk on now.
I mean, you'll be walking on in some time.
Yeah,
I don't know what the set times are now.
I don't know again. No, I did start to have a look at podcast guests, and I closed my phone. We had Def Havana not long ago.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
We had James from Def Havana on to talk to us about Fools and Worthless Liars, the 10-year anniversary. That was good. Who else have we had on? We've had Wade McNeil not long ago from the Gallows and the Alexis on Fire.
Yeah.
And Doom's Children, his new band, obviously. Who else have we had on? Let's have a look here. Matthew Rubano we had on, who was formerly in Take It Back Sunday and he's now in Angels and Airwaves. That was really good. We're going to do one with him in the flesh when he come over now. So hopefully going to get Tom DeLonge on so I can talk about aliens and nothing else. I'd gladly not mention Angels and Airwaves or Blink-182. I would really love... This week's... It's happening. This week's guest is... very similar to myself, he's an alien enthusiast. It's Thomas DeLonge. How are you, Thomas?
Something.
Sean and Morgan. I can only talk by singing in my vocal lines. So, Tom, UFOs, do they exist?
They're all inside your head.
Oh, are they? Oh, I thought you'd know more about them. But yeah, so yeah, we had Matt Rubano on and he was talking about... Because I said, right, what do you know about aliens that I don't then? Because you hang around with the fucking king of the UFOs. Like. And he was like, oh, Tom kind of stopped talking to me about it because he kind of got paranoid for a while because he thought he was being followed and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, Matt said, and we've left it in the podcast, he said, I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this, but I think he had or he saw a piece of an alien craft that when you turned it one way, it went invisible. And I was like, yes, our podcast is going to be the reason that Tom DeLonge's house gets raided. This is going to be amazing. So it hasn't happened yet, but I will take full blame. And then I'll use that as an excuse for him to come on to explain himself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we've been quite lucky. Like the first one we did over Zoom was Bert from the Used. And he was in Australia, which I was never expecting as well, where he now lives.
I would not have expected
exactly,
that
either. Exactly. You're welcome for that information. So yeah, if you're a Burt McCracken stalker and you're in whatever town you used to live in, you are miles off. You are fucking miles off. He is down under. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a blessing and a curse, I suppose, because what I am being able to do live, I've made up for in doing podcasts with people. So yeah, here we are.
Yeah, and obviously now as well, like what with all the venues reopening, being able to do them in person again.
Yeah.
And like, for me, there's almost nothing that sort of like matches that.
No,
like,
not
there's
at all.
So much more that you can go off. Like, you know, there's body language.
Yeah.
You can tell if someone's actually enjoying it or not.
Yeah.
And you don't get someone's like dog just going out
in the background.
That's true.
Yeah, I forgot about dogs in backgrounds. But yeah, we did one this week actually. And the person he's in like a fucking rock band that's been going for like 30 odd years, platinum selling artist. And he got Christmas happy when he saw Morgan's dog appear in the background. He was like, is that a dog? And I was just like, you're fucking grown up, what? He's like, what dog is that? It's a Jack Russell. And Morgan's like, oh no, it's, oh, let me get it. Oh, it's a chihuahua and a pug. I was like, a chug, chug, chug. And all of a sudden, this fellow was like, oh, I've got a cat. And I was like, boys, what's this? Do you want me to go downstairs and come up with a glass of water with a goldfish in? Like, this is what I've got. What, showing our pet? It's not sat petting. Like, what are we doing? It's a pet off. We got a pet off. Like, you're grown men. But yeah, that was a strange one. But yeah, we keep having dogs and stuff in the background. Matt Rubano had people working on his building that day, which was unfortunate. Oh, we had Max Cavalera from Soulfly on, right? Which is a massive deal for me. So Morgan was like, Morgan called me up. He's like, oh, we've been offered someone called Max Cavalera. And I was like, do you mean Max Cavalera from Soulfly? And he's like, yeah, that's him. Yeah. I was like, fucking yes. He's 52, right, Max Cavalera. He's never owned a mobile phone.
Really?
Well done. If you want to do anything with Max Cavalera, go get in touch with his wife to ask him.
Oh. Actually, my old boss never had a mobile phone.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
His son had to come and sort the Zoom out for him. So I met fucking Max Cavalera's son before Dusty Max came on, like, and talked. It was awesome. But yeah, you see, man, that's the thing with these students. You get to pry into people's houses as well sometimes. Yeah.
You see, like, something on the shelf, and like, actually, let's cut this one a bit short.
Yeah. Oh, that's a dodgy book. Oh. But then some people, Dave Hill from Slade, for example, we had him on for Christmas Day last year. He couldn't turn his camera on at all. So,
no.
So if it wasn't for the well-known voice, like, if I didn't know what Dave Hill sounded like, anybody could have turned up and did that interview and pretended to be him. But luckily, I know what he sounds like. But yeah, we've been quite lucky, really, that we've got to do some of the people we have and don't take it for granted. And
you've obviously got the massive Patreon community.
Yeah, I think my ghost has just come in.
Well, you say massive. I suppose it's not...
It's bigger than mine.
Oh, there you
go. And I've been on Patreon. That's a sentence that
constantly comes out of my mouth. Oh, it's bigger than mine. it's awesome. It's just that's one of the main best things that's come from this podcast is the community we created. It's like they look after each other. They're fucking amazing. They buy each other gifts all year round, which is fucking brilliant. Yeah, our Patreon community is absolutely amazing. Apart from the fact they bully me to a deadline every week. And never seem to pick on Morgan. We definitely deserves it. So, but yeah, it's awesome. I've got to rekindle old friendships as well through the podcast, which is nice. And got to go and see bands I probably wouldn't have gone to see. That once I saw them, I was like, oh, this is fucking actually quite good.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. It's been quite refreshing for me for it all to be up and running and doing all right.
I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, well, nobody wants... Oh, I tell you what, I wish everything would go wrong. I wish my podcast would fail dramatically. Oh, I put it out there now, it probably will. but if it can, it will.
It will.
Yeah, at some point it'll come crashing down now. It'll probably be after this is guest released now. People are like, do you hear his comments on this? Morgan must do loads of editing to stop him from ranting bullshit.
Does Morgan do the editing now?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, Morgan's in all over it. Like, he's brilliant, Morgan. The thing is, he's good now. He's fantastic, right? He does, like, all the editing and the sound and that and guest booking, mainly. He's as good with everything now as I thought he was going to be when we kind of started it, because I thought, oh, you work for Radio Cardiff, he's going to have all the gear, he's going to, you know, he's going to understand it all. And
shows up with like a...
I couldn't be more wrong. I couldn't be more wrong. Like, yeah. He turned up with a pen and paper. I was like, I'll just write everything down. I was like, that's not how podcasts work. That's a book you're thinking of.
Is that right? We'll overdub it.
No. That's an audio book. You're thinking of audio books. He does the majority of the work. But I did have a 13-year career in music, so we're equal. But Morgan's killing it, and he's fantastic, and I love him very much.
Yeah.
Despite how it may seem on the podcast.
I mean, it's the puns, isn't it?
Oh, he fucking drives me mental, that shit. Literally, I get angry every week. I reckon 98% of weeks I forget he does the pun bit until after I just finish and he'll go, well, Sean, oh no. That's a genuine feeling every week. It's like, oh, what bullshit is he going to say this week? That's embarrassing. Like, but I go to the band are listening to this. Like, whoever just did this interview is listening to this and now they've got this bell end. Well, I made a faux pas when I was talking about we had a fella on this week, now platinum selling artist. So he had this song. He has this song that he doesn't like. He's not overly keen on speaking about, but it's fucking mad. It's like one of the bigger songs, but he's bored of talking about it. And I accidentally quoted one of the main obvious lyrics, but I didn't. I wasn't thinking about the song.
Yeah.
I literally just said the sentence, and I went, "Oh, I'm so I didn't. That's not in reference to the song, mind." And he just went, "Right, I'm off." But he was joking, but. Oh, what a fucking... I did a Morgan live, live to a guest, so...
Is it staying in?
Oh, it's got to stay in. It's fucking... The moment... It's hilarious as it is cringy, because I wanted to die. I was like, I'm so sorry, and he was like, it's all right. I was like, I promise you. I've even met him on Instagram, and been like, listen, it was either that or say a sentence that sounded too Murtha, and that wouldn't have made sense to anybody listening, so...
With the exception of those from Murtha.
Nah, they probably wouldn't even have... understood it, so people from Murtha don't understand much, it seems. They seem to really be good at filling out benefits forms.
Oh,
but that's it. Leaving, becoming cultured, doing anything of interest that isn't sitting in Murtha spoons drinking my life away. Yeah, people from Murtha don't tend to do much, sadly. That's why there seems to be a lot of good bands coming.
Because they just want to get out.
100%, yeah. There's a band called Florence Black who are fucking killing it. They are awesome. There's a band called Public Order who haven't played a gig yet, but they've released a song and it's on FIFA 22.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good. It's a song called Feel Like Summer and it's so fucking catchy. They're going to be Murtha. Them and Florence Black. Florence Black are going to be the biggest alternative band from Murtha, I think. And then Public Order will be like, the biggest band from it, I reckon. Like they'll, because they have, it's like indie pop dance, and that can be so much bigger than anything any of the alternative bands are doing. But say that Florence Black have got some like classic rocky, new metal-y riffs, and I like them a lot. So it's nice to see actually that there's bands from Murtha out there doing it, and instantly turn to drink and drugs.
Yeah.
Like a lot of bands do from Murtha. There was one band from Murtha that was tipped to be the next big thing called Pretty Vicious. And I was like, oh, these are fucking brilliant. And they made the mistake of having family members manage them. So one of their fathers used to be in a covers band that played on Murtha. So he thought he knew everything. And they basically just fucking mowed him into the ground. And then the singer ended up having his demons, shall we say. And leaving the band and that all fell apart. And they were literally... Zane Lowe called the singer potentially the voice of his generation. Imagine hearing that you could be the voice of your generation. And it all falls apart because one of your band members employed their uncle as your manager rather than getting a proper fucking manager.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate waste of, you know.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. And it's sad it happened to them all. But also at some point, you know, they've got to take responsibility for drinking so much or whatever or doing whatever they were. Because they were kids as well, and the problem is... Because when we found out about him, when me and Matthew from the Blackout found out about him, we were still in the Blackout. We tried to get him to play our last shows in Murtha Tydfil, Pretty Vicious, but their uncle managers wanted £2,000. And we were like, the show sold out. We don't need you to sell tickets. We wanted them to play as a passing of the torch, right?
Yeah.
So us going, here we are, 3,000 people in Murtha Tydfil. These are the next fucking ones who are coming up. Take these...
Fucking, follow them around.
Yeah, go on. This is going to be the next big thing. We want £2,000. We're like, fuck off then. Like, what do you mean? No, you do it out of the fucking. You play into. They never played to 2,000 people before that. So yeah, that happened. And then me and Matthew tried to get involved with management. We're like, we were like, oh, you know, these could do well if they managed well. Yeah, we found out it was like their uncle and one of their fathers, and we're like, oh no, it's gonna be dreadful. Like small town fellas who've never done any. And that's a problem then. So those kids were like 16, 17, 18, if they were even 18. And they went to these big labels, and the big labels gave them like £250,000 or whatever, which they blew. And then
were blown smoke up their ass. The problem is they're kids. So if you've got somebody at a major label who's just giving you $250,000 going, you're going to be the biggest band in the world, you're going to go, oh, well, you're going to be the biggest band in the world. He's fucking, he's grown-ups that told us. Yeah. We're going to be the biggest band in the world. So you get that in your head. They needed someone like me or Matthew to be like, boys, everyone's going to tell you you're going to be the biggest band in the world. Take a pinch of salt. See what they're fucking offering. Money's cool. Take the money, you know, whatever. But they didn't have anything like that. They just fucked it big time. And sad for them. But it's nice to see bands coming out of Merthyr now that could do well and hopefully will do well.
Yeah. I think on that note, that's a good like point to start ending it. So,
oh, nice.
You know, a nice positive. There's bands coming out of Merthyr that are going to do well.
I believe so, yeah. Public Order, Florence Black. If Brad from Pretty Vicious ever pulls his socks up and stops, I think he might stop drinking now, hopefully, fingers crossed. Again, there's no reason why you can't write the fucking album. That's absolutely incredible. Because you got like this husky voice, it's a mixture of like, it's somewhere between John Lydon, Liam Gallagher, Alex Turner. He's just got one of these fucking awesome voices that sounds fucking so cool and so. He sounds cool, like he sounds like he looks like Liam Gallagher. He just has the drinking habits of Liam Gallagher, apparently. So hopefully he can fucking sort that out because he could be fucking massive. And I hope he is because get out of Merthyr, like I just want people from Merthyr to do well. So they don't have to just keep sharing the same Facebook bullshit.
Yeah. So is there anything you'd like to plug?
Check out Something Podcast, which is available wherever podcast. If you're listening to this, you found this somewhere, haven't you, through a podcast streaming service, I guess. So have a look for that. Raiders, my band, search Raiders UK on streaming websites to find us because some American cunts took it a week before we put our first song up. Raiders, something, Raiders. Have I got any other business? December the 15th, Raiders and Junior and an awesome band from Cardiff called Sleep Outside, check them out, are playing a Christmas extravaganza at Club Eva Bach in Cardiff. Come along. It's going to be our last gig of 2021. Should be fun. Other than that, I don't think I have anything to plug or sell other than my podcast and my band.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you. Always.
Let's have a good last Raiders gig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Also, yeah. At the moment, as of today, they found a new variant in the UK of the, what's it called, the virus. So I'd imagine this time in 2 weeks, we'd probably be all locked down anyway. So I think we should just make tonight, I was saying earlier, lock the doors, turn the lights off, let's have a game of Who's In My Mouth, let's just make it a big orgy, because we're not all going to see each other now for probably another 9 months, the way this fucking useless government handles anything at all.
Yeah, including themselves.
Oh, what a fucking mess, like, what a mess.
What a mess.
Yeah, what a positive end, what a positive end.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene. Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed that, please do give it a share on social media and be sure to follow Sean, Raiders, Sapnin and myself on social media. As I said, links in the description. If you're in South Wales, head down to the gig on the 15th, and if you're not in South Wales, consider yourself lucky. I can say that because I'm a quarter Welsh and no one's listening at this point anyway. And if you are, thank you. But yeah, thank you very much and goodbye.